This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Equity Mind.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode. Big week for you. As we record, you are T-minus... I should have done the maths before we started. T-minus...
2 days?
72 hours? 48 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Someone's counting.
Until what?
Oh, yeah. And until you are no longer Mr. Bryce Lesky, and you'll soon be Mr. Bryce Alexander Lesky.
Yes, I'll be married, in other words, Ren. That is right.
You're going double-barreled, right?
No. But yes, very excited. Big weekend coming up. Can't wait to share it with you and all of my family and friends. It's going to be awesome.
What I've learnt, the one we like to start with what we've learnt this week.
Yeah.
From an investing standpoint, what I've learnt from a life standpoint is it's great to be a groomsman, because I've done absolutely nothing, but I just get the perks of the week.
No, I was thinking about that last night. I was like, wow, the groomsmen actually don't do a lot. Like, the in theory, I think, you know, I'm, you know, if I was super stressed or needed things, like, you're kind of meant to lean on the groomsman or the best man a bit.
But I think in theory we're meant to do more organising for the bucks.
You never know. I might have a few things in store for you on the weekend.
Great. Happy to. Happy to unfold some chairs or hold umbrellas.
Nice. There might be a lot
drive
of...
Drive a bus.
There might be a lot of umbrella holding given what the weather forecast is. But anyway, let's get moving. Big episode today, Ren. We'll obviously kick off with what we've learnt this week. Then we're 9 months into the year, so we're going to have a look at some of the headlines from the ASX. For those that are playing the ASX game, it will be helpful. For those who aren't, it'll still be helpful. We're going to have a bit of fun with coming up with some of our own news headlines as well. And then the British pound has been whacked. So what does that actually mean for UK stocks? Because some of them appear to be on sale. So let's get started.
Let's do it. So as we always like to do, what we've learnt this week. What have you learnt this week?
What have I learnt this
week? Sorry, I'm laughing because last week in the Google Doc you had diversification works.
Yeah.
This week I'm looking and you've just got Lego.
I learned how to do Lego.
All right, hit me. What have you got?
No, well, my first one is governments can't read the room.
Okay.
That's my first one. It was pretty unsurprising but startling to see some of the measures that are coming out of the UK government when it comes to tax cuts. Given what's going on with the cost of living and everything, the proposed tax cuts in terms of rewarding those that are at the top end of the pay scale and cutting corporate tax, it just feels like the time is not now for doing that sort of stuff.
They're eliminating the top tax bracket.
Yep.
And so people that are in the top tax bracket will then automatically move into the lower one. They're reducing corporate tax. And then the biggest element of not reading the room is they're ending the cap on banker bonuses.
Yes, yeah, scrapping a cap on banking bonuses. Ridiculous.
Yeah. And if people haven't seen the effect of that, and it's not just that, like Britain's got a number of problems, outside, a number of financial problems outside of that, but the pound got whacked, and then the British bond market has been in so much trouble that the Bank of England had to step in to prop up the bond market because British pension funds were about to collapse.
Mm. It's nuts.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's just like read the room, honestly. So that's what I learned. It's, as I said, it's not surprising, but it's like, come on, guys. It's, yeah. Anyway, I did have here Lego though, Ren. If there's one company in the world, one or two companies in the world that I wish you could get access to because it's not listed, it's Lego.
Okay.
Why is that? Well, they've just, they reported their earnings this week and they continue to be.
Why are they reporting their earnings if they're not listed?
Don't know.
Just news? Just
because they're just like, YOLO, how good's this? Because it's awesome. And they've just proven that they're the titans of the toy world. They've reported their first half of the year earnings, first half earnings, and they continue to be the world's leading toy manufacturer. They opened 66 new stores in China alone in the first half of the year and boosted sales by 17% compared to the previous period. And they grew market share in every single one of the regions that they operate in, which compared to what else is going on in the toy manufacturing world is pretty surprising.
What else is going on in the toy manufacturing world?
There's a bit of a squeeze going on. But what I did find interesting, Ren, was the reason that they've been able to do this, they say, is due to their manufacturing facilities, and their strategy is to manufacture as close as possible to all of their major markets so that they haven't actually been impacted anywhere near as much by supply constraints over the last 12 months than some of their major competitors. And they're about to open a $1 billion factory in the US to continue with this strategy. So, it's pretty impressive. They sell over 100 billion bricks a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's what I learned. It's not listed though.
Yeah, it's fascinating what competitive advantages can come from. You know, like Duplo never... Was that the other one, the knockoff?
Duplo, I think so.
Never really got off the ground, but it is just plastic bricks.
Plastic bricks. Yeah. And they also haven't changed their pricing. They haven't upped any of their
pricing. No, their pricing's stupidly high.
This year they haven't.
Okay.
They haven't touched their pricing.
Lego is...
It's expensive. Lego is it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's primo. So anyway, that's what I learned. What have you learned?
So last week I spoke about how I've set up auto investing. And well, I was in the process of setting it up. And we were talking about what ETFs you would auto invest into, and we didn't have an answer. So I have an answer, and okay, nice. we can't speak about specific products, but I'll give you the geographic spread. So I didn't do an all world ETF, just one all world ETF, because it would have too much of a US bias.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like 60 and 70% of the all world index is American stocks. So what I've done is five ETFs. One that holds Australian companies, one US, one UK. Not sure about that at the moment, although stocks are on sale. We'll get to that. One mainland Europe and then one Asia ex-Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just got the minimum amount going into those.
No thematics.
Maybe in no thematics, no property, no active management. I mean, I'm not made of money.
Yes.
Until you give me a pay rise.
Fair call.
But that for me was, that's how I'm structuring it. So what do you think?
I think it makes sense. I definitely agree with the all world approach because you then
not taking one.
Because you really only then just get, as you said, rightly so, you're only just really getting returns from the US. And I like the spread across. You've pretty much covered the world, but how did you decide on S&P over, say, going a NASDAQ?
It's because the S&P includes the NASDAQ, but the NASDAQ doesn't include the S&P. And obviously tech has outperformed to just a stupid degree in America, and so everyone gravitates to the NASDAQ because of what it's done. But the S&P just gives you actually the 500 biggest publicly listed companies, whatever sector they're in, whatever exchange they're listed on, whereas the NASDAQ doesn't.
Mm.
And so it's just, I think like the at its core, what index investing is about getting exposure to the biggest companies in a market.
Mm.
And that's the S&P 500 in the States.
So then here's the next question. Portfolio management and construction, have you gone equal weighting to all of them?
Equal weighted.
Nice. And you're going to keep it that way?
For now. Well, I mean, like, because this is like, I'm just doing minimum investment, just get the ball rolling, see if I like the platform that I'm using, because there are other options that offer auto invest. So I'm not locked into this one if I decide that for whatever reason I don't like it.
And so what's the, if you don't mind me asking, what's the frequency?
So I get paid fortnightly, and so it's just like part of the automatic funds nice. Transfer now.
Love yeah, it. Yeah. DCA in action.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
Now, we were asked a question on the forum, and if you want to chat to us, respond to these episodes, chat to the Equity Mates community. The link is community.equitymates.com.
Yes.
And we'll include that in the show notes. But someone asked on the forum, am I missing out on compounding? Like by selling ETFs on different brokers and consolidating in one broker? And the answer is no, but I am creating a taxable event.
Mm.
So if I'm selling 10 units on broker A and then taking that money and buying on broker B, then you know I'm buying the same amount of units, putting the same amount of money back in the market just with a different broker. So I'm not missing out on compounding, but there is a taxable event. Luckily, there's some capital losses that I recognized last year. And some of the ETFs I only bought recently, so it's not like there's massive capital gains. So that's that. There was another question asked on the forum about why don't I just transfer the shares?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
And I reckon you can't be bothered.
Too much paperwork.
I knew it. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. You should have just done that, bro.
Nah, too much paperwork. There's only one broker that lets you do an online form.
Yeah, but like you're paying tax. Like,
but I'm not paying tax. That's the thing. I'm missing out on the future, on the opportunity to offset future tax by using the capital losses now.
Oh, so you reckon your capital losses covered it?
I know they have.
Oh, okay. Well, fair call.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, it is a good lesson though. If you can be bothered to do paperwork, you can actually transfer between brokers. So you don't have to have a tax event if you want to set up your brokers like
Ren. Let's
But I do admit it is paper. It's not paper heavy, but it requires paper.
It requires a printer.
Yeah, it requires a printer.
Who's got a printer?
We have one here.
Who knows how to set up the printer?
Our head of growth, Alf. All right, let's keep moving. Those are two things we've learnt. If you are keen to contribute to the conversation, let us know what you learnt. As Ren said, we've got Australia's most welcoming investor forum now live, community.equitymates.com. Check it out, sign up, and come and join the conversation with the Equity Mates community. We are off Facebook. All right. Well, technically, we're still on it, but we're not engaged. We're engaging in our forum.
We're slowly migrating off Facebook like the rest of the world.
That's it. One day we'll boot it. All right. Ren, ASX movers and shakers. The ASX game is in full swing. If you're not aware of what it is, you get $50,000 in fake money and can play a game against many other competitors here in Australia on the ASX 200. And we are going to have a look at what has happened on the ASX over the last 9 months. We've filtered down stocks that are over 750 million in market cap and had a look at their year-to-date returns.
We've basically just had a look at the ASX 200.
Yeah, we got... Yeah. Well, no, there's plenty of... Okay. Yeah, okay. Because there's been a lot of stocks sub 750.
Well, yeah. There's like, 2,000 stocks listed in Australia. But basically, we're 9 months into the year. What's happened? Who's moved the index? What are the companies? I was trying to think like, so movers are like the companies that move the index. But like, what's shakers?
Shakers are the ones that come in and ruffle some feathers. feathers.
All right. Well, anyway, we've looked at movers and shakers. We've and then we've come up with headlines that sum up the year so far.
Yes.
And then we're going to come up with some headlines that predict the remainder of the year. And,
nice.
I think there'll be some fun there. But Let's start with what companies have moved the index. What have been the biggest gainers this year?
Well, Ren, no surprises for those that have kept their eye on the coal market, because a lot of the gainers are in coal and resources. The biggest gainer is Whitehaven Coal at 187% rise since the start of the year. New Hope Corporation, 133%. Then we go into Core Lithium, up 100%, Yancoal Australia, up 93%, and Stanmore Resources, up 87%.
So four of the five biggest gainers of the year are coal companies.
Yeah.
Who says Australia is a market of bankers and miners?
A lot of people. do you hold any of those?
No.
No.
So, look, I get that the world still needs coal. I get that there's a argument around, like, access to electricity in India and stuff like that is a human right, and Australian coal facilitates that. I get all of that, but from an ASG point of view, I'm just not going to invest in coal.
Yeah,
it's just not where the world is going. Like, even forget ASG, it's just like you want to invest in industries that have long runways, and I just don't believe it in coal. And hey, I was wrong this year, but
very short term.
Someone in our the Apple podcast reviews said, what was it? Like, there's a few moments of woke millennialism.
No, your ASG dog whistling.
ASG dog whistling. Well, hey, if I could whistle, I'd be doing it right now.
Shout out.
But
to
yeah, look, that's just my personal view. Like, I hold some companies that would not pass ASG screens, but coal for me is not one of them.
Yeah. Well, for those that have held we've had a few experts come on the show who've definitely spoken about their investments in coal and have obviously done quite well. So that if it is for you, then full credit, 187% return in a year where we're down, what, plus 10%, 20%. Yeah, you can't complain with that. So absolutely some big winners. How about our shakers or losers?
Yeah, so I think the biggest loser this year is, there's an asterisk next to it, Tabcorp Holdings, but they split out their lotteries business. So I think that's just a quirk in the data. Tabcorp, if you held Tabcorp and somehow missed out on the lottery shares, you'd be down 82%. That's why that's down so much. So strike that from the record. The biggest five losers this year, Megaport down 61%, Chalice Mining down 60%, Boral down 58%, Domino's Pizza down 56%, and Evolution Mining down 55%.
I think the filter would have screwed this, but at the start of the year, it would have fallen in the filter, I think, Ren, and that's Zip Pay.
How much is... Oh, no. Zip doesn't have over $750 million market
now
cap.
Now it doesn't, but at the start of the year it would have, surely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like now it's only got $467 million, but at the start of the year, because it's down 84%, and I'm pretty sure there's So it's been absolutely hammered. Tough year. But anyway, on the filter now, yes, it doesn't, because it's hurting.
Yes.
Anyway.
So, Bryce, there's some of the biggest movers and shakers. Good year for coal, bad year for most other stocks.
Yeah.
So rather than us just talking about companies and percentages, we wanted to sort of wrap up some of these narratives into some headlines for this year. So let's get into those. Let's sum up the 9 months of the year so far. And the first one that we've already touched on, coal number one performer, Daylight second.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe oil second.
Yeah, I was just going to say third. Oils. Yeah, oil's pretty close up there. Energy.
Natural gas.
Lumber. No, lumber's come down a bit.
Lumber's come down massively.
Corn. Corn was big this start of this year, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Anyway. Yes, you wouldn't raise an eyebrow if you saw that as a headline. What else have you got?
Well, what else have you got?
I've got one. Too old, too slow. That's a throw to the recent Cats Geelong team.
Oh, okay. We're not doing AFL headlines.
I know. Too old, too slow. Central banks caught napping, now trying to play catch up.
Okay.
I feel like...
Why has their age got anything to do with it?
It's a headline, bro. It's a headline. People write things in headlines that it's just catchy.
Sure.
Too old, too slow. And get some youth into these central banks, I reckon.
Sure. One from me, Wax No More, WiseTech separates from the pack. Now, Wax was Australia's answer to Fang. It was WiseTech, Afterpay, Appen, Altium and Xero. They were the up-and-coming tech names of the last few years. Well, this year, four of the five are down at least 20%. Appen is down about 70%.
Mm, it's been hammered.
Afterpay, obviously acquired by Block, but, you know, Block down 52%. So they've all been whacked, except for WiseTech. It is down, but it's down 10% rather than plus 20%. So is WiseTech starting to set? We saw Fang break up a bit. Netflix got left behind. Maybe WiseTech is pulling ahead at the moment of the Wax.
I would say it definitely is. Or it's Appen should at least skitch on out of here.
Yeah. I mean, Xero is still a great company, but it's down. Well, I mean, you know, yeah. We use it and we think it's great for our business. It's down like 40%.
Although I did see in the AFR this week that a couple of guys have raised a fair chunk of cash to build a competitor to Xero.
Well, there's heaps of competitors out there.
Name one.
Intuit QuickBooks.
Nah, not as prolific here in Australia. Merit, that's an American company.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like this is Australia first.
That feels like a really arbitrary distinction, but okay.
Anyway, I've got another one, Ren. Yeah, and please. This is in line with your call. I've got energy, the most obvious trade of the decade so far.
Okay.
Up 45% this
June. If it was so obvious, why didn't you do it?
I'm not a trader. I'm an investor. And
oh, what, you hate money or something?
Well, why aren't you investing in coal?
ESG.
Oh, you hate money? I think, look, this is what I say this in hindsight.
Like, was it obvious that Putin was going to invade Ukraine sanctions would dry up the energy markets?
I feel like
if it was obvious, you could have given some people a heads up.
I feel like that's not a hard line to draw is what happened with Putin and Ukraine and then what's going to happen to energy markets. I feel like that should have just been...
Oh, you're saying like, once the invasion happened, we should have realized that Western sanctions would target energy.
Yeah, like I feel like in hindsight, that should have just been an easy line across saying macro bang. Oh, but anyway, I'm harsh on myself.
I mean, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts there.
But you know what I mean.
But hey,
you
you're the headline writer, so.
That's it. All right, what do you got?
Quality is on sale is the headline. And then subheading.
Well, I didn't know we're doing subs.
Subheading. Here's a few companies down more than 20%. Macquarie, Wesfarmers, Goodman Group, REA Group, the ASX and Xero.
ASX. Yeah. No, I love this one and have certainly taken advantage of some of these. I'm not going to name names, but love it.
Yeah, there's some...
Great time.
What their fair value is, that's for you to do your own work on, but there are some high quality companies that are cheaper than they were at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To close out, Ren, the only thing that was transitory were the green numbers in my portfolio.
Nice.
Tough year.
I've got one more headline. Stop gambling on ethics. Subhead. Both casino operators get raked over the coals around Australia.
Yeah.
It's been a bad year to be a casino operator. Mm. Star, they had a commission in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation was they lose their license. And then Crown, they had commissions, WA, Victoria and New South Wales.
Mm.
And same recommendations. And they did. Well, they obviously got sold. Well, they are getting sold. Bad year to be a casino operator.
Bad year to be a casino operator, yeah. And it's still going for them.
But, and to be honest, it's not about the year. It's about the operators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. That's till now, Ren. That's 9 months in.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
If you think we missed any headlines, maybe we do a post on the forum about it.
Sure.
Headlines did we miss? Yeah.
And now we're going to have a bit of a prediction as to what could the headlines be for the remainder of the year. So let's rip through these ones, Ren. What do you got?
First one, Chess mate, subhead, ASX announced sixth delay on chess replacement project.
Love it, and I can definitely see it. For those that are unaware, the ASX have been trying for a fair while now to bring in blockchain technology to replace their current chess system.
So chess is how they know like who's holding stocks. This is why we get all that paperwork from our brokers. And the ASX have been trying to replace it for a long, long time. They've announced five delays. They've replaced their CEO. Will there be a sixth?
Yeah. Love it. I'm going to say there will be.
Oh, really?
Maybe. All right. I've got one, and it's investors hold hope for Santa's rally as NASDAQ ends year with record falls.
Well, you reckon there's more pain to come?
I reckon it'll be worse than... So in 2000, the tech crash, I think it finished down 50%.
Yeah.
It's currently just over 20.
Oh, you reckon it's going to go that far?
I reckon it could hit. I'm just saying I'm a headline writer. It's a bold prediction.
Okay. If you want to make a bet on that, I'm willing to take the other side of that bet.
Sure.
I'm notoriously optimistic.
No, you're not. You flip like bloody...
I'm notoriously optimistic except about the Swan's fortune.
That's true.
All right, my next headline. High coal price bringing more projects online, increasing climate questions.
Yeah,
so
good.
So I think the simple prediction there is as if these prices stay higher for longer, and we have seen the oil price drop off meaningfully, but if these coal prices stay higher for longer, there will be marginal projects that are suddenly viable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coal mines take time to develop, but there might be pressure for environmental approvals for a few.
Mm, I like that.
We'll see.
All right, I've got another one, and it is major retailers post dire earnings result, flaming fears of recession. I don't think it's that bold, but it's going to happen. It's going to be a shocker.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You are the retail whisperer.
It's going to be a shocker. Absolute shocker. What have you got, Ren?
So they're actually the only two predictions I had. And then I saw that you did an AFL one, so I've done an AFL one as nice. Well. So do you want to start your AFL one first?
Mine was, have you heard? James back at Windy Hill.
And heard with HIRD.
HIRD, James
Yeah,
Hurd.
It's funny. You've been so bullish on James Hurd coaching Essendon again.
No, I haven't.
In the office, you've been like, he has to.
No.
He's Essendon royalty.
No, I'm like, get him out. Brad Scott. He won't coach. What have you got for yours?
Eddie must hate this. Grundy to Sydney in shock trade of the offseason.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, well,
you can't afford him though.
Well, everyone was like, you got cap space for Dusty earlier this year. If we can afford Dusty's 1.2, we can afford Grundy's 1. Collingwood take some of the salary.
But you've also just re-signed all your boys for quite a while.
Buddy took a pay cut though.
Yeah, but Mills, all the other boys. Anyway, let's keep moving, Ren. We are going to...
Imagine us with Grundy and Hickey as our two ruckmen.
Imagine. Yeah, that would be good. You do need someone to stop...
Just tapping it down.
To stop Hawkins kicking goals kicking goals out of the ruck in grand finals. Anyway, let's keep moving. After the break...
That's too soon.
After the break, we're going to have a chat about the British pound as it has absolutely been whacked, and then have a look at some of the stocks that are on sale as a result. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Ren, British pound has been smashed. The US dollar is on a tear. But the question that we were speaking about in the office this week is, what does this mean for us as investors? What does this mean for the UK stocks? Because a currency has an impact.
Currency does have an impact.
Wise words.
That's the episode. No, so look, I mean, in your what we've learned this week, you spoke about sort of how this situation has developed. But the British pound is weak. The US dollar is strong. It creates opportunities, and especially in Britain. And we really wanted to start here because I feel like maybe the market missed this in all of the panic a little bit. But British companies, more than most companies around the world, are export-driven businesses. So they are global. They have a global footprint, and we'll talk about some specific examples. But they have a global footprint. They sell in foreign currency, and then they bring that money back to Britain, convert it to pounds, and report their revenue in pounds. So if the British pound has been whacked and they're still selling their products overseas, that's going to give them a revenue boost, because when they convert it back into pounds, that foreign currency buys more pounds. Good for revenue.
Hike the bank accounts.
Yeah. So I think if there was one economy that you would look to when their currency got whacked that they might see a revenue bump, it would be this one, maybe the US as well. But I think we were speaking to Kerry Craig from JP Morgan Asset Management, and he made the point that 20%, so of the FTSE 100, the 100 biggest UK listed stocks, only 20% of their revenue comes from the UK.
Mm.
80% of it comes from abroad.
Mm.
That's pretty big.
It's pretty significant.
Yeah. So that's, I think, that should be the starting point for this conversation when we say, are there opportunities to buy in Britain when the pound is weak? Because not only are you getting a cheaper share price because your foreign currency can buy more British stocks because they're priced in British pounds,
mm-hmm.
but also the British companies that you're buying might be getting a revenue-free kick from the weak pound.
So it's actually not all that bad.
Well, I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, things aren't great in Britain at the moment.
No.
But as opportunistic capitalists coming in from abroad, we have opportunities.
Do stay tuned, because next Thursday, the 13th of October, is when that interview with Kerry Craig comes out from JP Morgan Asset Management. And we cover a lot of what's going on in the macro environment, including currency. So, but Ren, we're here to discuss the some of the specific stocks. So let's start by just taking a look at the FTSE 100 for those that haven't gone under the hood before, to get a sense of what is in there, because there are some pretty significant global companies. So we'll just run through the top 10. So Shell, AstraZeneca, Unilever, HSBC and Diageo, and then BP, British American Tobacco. You always forget about that one. Glencore.
You don't forget about that one.
Classic. Knew that set up from a mile away.
I actually finished the top 10 and then I've got an aside.
Glencore, Rio and GSK. Glencore, yeah. It's surprising they're still in there as well.
Why are you surprised by that? The world's
dodgy,
biggest,
dodgy
world's
Doolittle.
Biggest, world's biggest mining company. Yeah, dodgy Doolittle. Allegedly, let's not get sued.
Allegedly, dodgy Doolittle.
Yeah. An aside about British American Tobacco, I came across an investment thesis, 60 pages, based on vaping, and an investment thesis for one company based on vaping. Do we want to do an episode on that?
Nah.
Oh, I thought it was interesting.
What do you mean, like the bull case for vaping?
No, like a stock that they have made an investment thesis for based around vaping.
If it's not a tobacco stock, then I'm
it's
happy
Philip
to do
Morris.
It.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward straightforward thesis.
If we're not gonna do an episode on it, let's push to the forum. I will share the full 60-page slide deck on the forum. So if you're interested.
Surely it's just nicotine is addictive, we're giving it to young people. Philip Morris.
57 pages of disclaimers. Nah, anyway, I thought it was like, yeah, anyway.
Anyway, Ren, anyway. So those are the top 10, but that doesn't answer the question around is there anything of value? Is there anything in there that is on sale?
So can I, before we do that, look at that top 10 for a minute.
Yeah.
It wouldn't pass an ESG screen.
No. Oil.
Oil company, pharmaceutical company, massive consumer goods company.
Alcohol.
That has some controversies. Investment bank. Alcohol, oil company, tobacco company, mining company, pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. Well, it's not called the ESG index.
That's so. The ESG dog whistle. You just got to keep doing them.
All right, let's keep moving. So that's the top 10, but how do these rate in terms of the original question which we asked ourselves around, are there any stocks on sale? Is there any value in this?
Looking at value, some of these British stocks are trading on stupidly cheap PEs. Shell? 5 PE. Thought you'd be more interested in that. Rio Tinto, 4.6. Glencore, 4.1. Lloyd's, 6.4. Barclays, 4.9.
I mean, they on paper they seem cheap, but like, is it? And you might not have the answer, but I always question where that sits in terms of industry, in terms of their average PE. You know what I mean? Like, is a five for show within its average PE ratio?
Dude, it's a five.
Yeah.
No.
what is it normally?
Well, I don't know, but I think a key reason is that price to earnings, the earnings is trailing 12 months. Like, the earnings is backwards looking, whereas price is forwards looking.
Yeah.
And so Shell has just come off a bumper profits season. You know, oil companies have had super profits, but the oil price is down. So, yeah, the market's forward looking.
True.
Yeah. But still a 5 PE.
Yeah.
That's the problem with PE. So, but I guess there's some options. Like, if you just want to say the simplest valuation metric, what's cheap? But then we were doing some research. We were looking at we found a few hedge fund letters from UK hedge funds. A lot of them still invest in American stocks.
Yeah, it's classic.
But we also found some conversations on Twitter that we thought were interesting. Actually, you know what? I'll share the hedge fund letters on the community forum as well.
Sure.
I'm going to have to remember to share a lot of stuff on this forum.
You are,
but we found a tweet. What are some competitively advantaged UK businesses that are trading at interesting valuations?
Interesting.
And so we found a few names. We're going to pull them out. We'll talk about what they do. Important caveat, we haven't researched them as investing options. These aren't advice. These are just expanding your knowledge of what's out there, because there are some interesting companies and then one very funny one that I want to finish with.
Okay. Well, let's start with perhaps an obvious one that we've already touched on, and that is British American Tobacco.
So this was overwhelmingly the most common response, I thought, in the Twitter thread, which I was surprised by. It's the largest tobacco company in the world based on sales.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Still have 400 full-time employees in Australia. Would you believe it?
I would not believe that.
I would not believe it either.
That's okay. Surprising. Yeah. Was there any commentary around why? Is it purely just a valuation play at the moment for these guys?
Yeah. Yeah. And tobacco companies just print free cash flow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite less and less people smoking.
Yeah. Well, we spoke about at the top, Ren, you know, some of these companies that are listed on the FTSE, the global reach that they have and sales around the world, and probably no better example, well, other than British American Tobacco, I guess, but Diageo was another company that appeared on the list. The ticker is DEO, one of the world's largest, if not the world's
largest.
Owner of alcohol brands, some of the most popular alcohol brands in the world, company that we've spoken about a fair bit on the show. So if you're looking at where revenues come from, it's truly global.
We did a live show on the alcohol industry, and the overwhelming takeaway is there's like a few giants that everyone seems to invest in, and this is one of them.
This is one of them, yeah.
To the point earlier about a lot of these British companies selling outside of Britain and then in doing so pulling in foreign currency, only 20% of Diageo's sales are in Europe or the UK. So 80% are overseas. A lot of them are in America, and that means they're pulling in US dollars and then converting it back to British pounds. Diageo isn't as cheap as a lot of these other British companies because a lot of investors are, you know, in love with it.
Yeah.
So that's the question there. Like, the value, you know, if we're talking about stocks being on sale in Britain at the moment, Diageo not... it's not quite as marked down as some of these other companies.
Well, let's have a look at another one that popped up, and that was Burberry. Have you ever shopped at Burberry?
I'm not a big fashion guy, as you know.
I definitely know that.
I feel like you would have a few things to say.
No, I don't think I've shopped at Burberry. For those unaware, it's a British luxury fashion brand headquartered over in London, currently trading on a PE of 17 times. It's been holding up. By the look of things, it's only down about 6% year to date. But with all things that I think sit on the FTSE 100, they never move.
No, things do move. Big in China, as I learnt from an Uber massive driver China, one
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Naked Wines. Have you heard of them?
No.
So
actually, yes, I have a Naked Wines tote bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard of them. They've got a great ticker, Wine, W-I-N-E. They're the ones, do you order much from Amazon?
Much what?
Just stuff.
Yeah.
You know how they always have the Naked Wines vouchers? Card,
yeah.
Have you ever used one?
No.
Neither.
No.
But every Amazon box, Naked Wines offer. Anyway, I thought that was interesting that I
can't. It's UK. It's UK.
Yeah, we're talking about Britain.
Yeah, but for some reason I had in my head that it was Australian because it's so present here. But anyway, it's obviously
British companies bringing revenue in overseas.
Yeah, yeah. I've definitely used it.
Another one that came up a few times in these conversations, Plus 500.
The broker,
CFDs.
Yeah.
Feels like a lot of CFD brokers come out of the UK. Mm. Do you notice that? IG, Plus 500.
CMC.
Are they UK?
I think so, yeah. They're European.
Ah.
Plus is their ticker. Greg's ran. What's Greg's? GRG.
It's a bakery.
Oh, really?
It's just funny the things that you come across. I came across it and I was like, do we have a listed bakery in Australia? Baker's Delight, Brumbies.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a listed.
They're not listed. They're not solely listed. I'm sure Brumbies or Baker's Delight is probably, surely owned by one of the retail groups or.
I reckon they would be not owned by a listed company.
Okay.
Let's find out.
Family owned or.
No, like private equity owned, you know, like who owns Fitness First? A private equity chain.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Baker's Delight, family owned and operated.
There you go.
Good on them.
All right. Well, then, speaking of food, another one that popped up on the list was Tortilla Mexican Grill Mex,
yeah,
which is British's Guzman.
Britain's Guzman.
Ran, I'm getting close to my wedding. I'm losing the plot. Britain's Guzman. All right. Guzman. Well,
let's jump to the end. I'll share the Twitter thread on the forum. God, the forum's going to be packed with resources. The last company that I just want to tell you, and it just reminded me the amazing array of options that are there on the share market. Cake Box Holdings, CBOX, okay. The ticker, you heard of it?
No. Nah.
So it has 185 stores and 35 kiosks that sell egg-free cake in boxes.
Egg-free cake?
Egg-free cake in boxes. That's the business.
Niche.
It's a £50 million listed business with over 200 locations. The founders don't believe you need egg in cake. So they've got a recipe that doesn't have egg in cake.
Oh, so it's not a dietary thing. They just don't believe.
Well, they're in their investor relations website because, yes, I did some research on it. They say that it expands the market. So all those dietary,
You
know, people who can't eat eggs are now in their total addressable market. But it's also they just don't believe you need eggs in the recipe.
Twofold.
Now, I'm not a big baker, but it feels like eggs have long been a staple in cake recipes. But I guess then you open up the vegan market as well and stuff like that.
I wouldn't mind trying one.
No, you probably still have other ingredients that. Anyway.
Who knows? Yeah.
Cake in a box.
Well, that is why we love investing, Ren. Always coming across interesting companies that we would otherwise not come across.
Yes. I can confidently say I never would have come across Cake Box Holdings
That's it. But anyway, that does bring us to the end. We've covered a fair bit of ground, plenty going on in the ASX. It's going to be interesting to see if our headlines hold true. Do stay tuned. As we said, we've got JP Morgan Asset Management next week with Kerry Craig. This Thursday, we have a huge interview though with Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase.
Yeah.
Massive interview. We were stoked to be able to get him on the show. He's got some exciting news to share. And then Ren is coming in hot as well. Actually, we've got two massive interviews this week with Richard White, the billionaire founder of WiseTech.
Yes.
So if you're wondering why Ren's doing that solo, it's because I will be traveling to my wedding.
Bit nervous, I must say. It's been a while since I've done a solo interview.
You'll be fine. You'll nail it. It could be 2 hours long.
You might not come back.
So plenty of content this week. Don't forget to tune into The Dive as well. We cover three business stories on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And we've also just started doing headlines to keep you up to date with some of the biggest business headlines. around the world.
Heaps of stuff going on. Come over to the forum, see all those resources that I spoke about. Come to FinFest, meet us, hear from some of these experts. Plenty of Equity Mates stuff. We've got 8 shows in the network. Give them a listen.
Well, by the time
we're
going
to go get Bryce married.
Yes, by the time this episode goes to air, there will only be less than 2 weeks until FinFest. So grab your tickets. They're on sale at equitymates.com/FinFest.
Now he's just stalling.
Yep.
Let's go. You got to get married.
I got to go get married. We'll leave it there and we'll pick it up next week.
See ya.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian financial services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast or video. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.